The American walks every day, normal, going to work. He's walking downtown in Manhattan, and all of a sudden, two planes hit the Twin Tower, and they have no clue why would somebody do such a thing.
Deliberate and deadly attacks, which were carried out yesterday against our country, were more than acts of terror. They were acts of war.
Radical Islam has declared the war. Radical Islam is at war now with the West.
When I saw the second airplane hit, I knew jihad had come to America.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
The Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. Vito, our call number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that No Pork Eating America lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific, Vito. Great to be here as always. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing okay. Thanks. I'm hanging in there. It's a Monday, you know?
Oh,
I got my espresso. I actually made a little bit extra today. I've just been, I need something to calm down, so I got some espresso.
Good quadruple shot, I hope.
Yes, it is. Actually, I put a little extra in that quadruple shot, so... a little concoction I made up today. So it's actually pretty good. I even put two Splendors in there. Woo! It's be flying, gonna fly now. No. Well, did you watch the Valspar Championship? The PGA News, Sam Burns attempted to defend his title at the Valspar Championship in Palm Harbor, Florida this past weekend. And two rookie PGA players led the way on Saturday and into Sunday's round, with Sam Burns lurking within striking distance. Rookie Davis Riley from University of Alabama led by two strokes after Saturday's round. He shot, I think, a 63 on Saturday to take the lead. And during Saturday's round, Riley blew up on the 623-yard par 5, leading to a triple bogey 8. And losing his two-stroke lead, he found himself one stroke behind And suddenly Sam Burns, the defending champion, and Justin Thomas were tied for the lead. And Riley was one shot back. Burns seemed to take charge of the tournament, you know, yesterday afternoon, Sunday afternoon. But Davis, Riley was not done. This young guy birdied the 17th hole, and he tied Burns for the lead. Burns hit a great shot at the 18, and he had about a 15-footer downhill for birdie, and he missed it. Riley kept the tie up, and then it went into overtime. And in the second playoff hole, Burns putted first. Both hit the green. Burns drained a 30-foot putt dead center. Well, almost dead, a little off center, but he drained a 30-foot putt. Riley needed to drain his putt to send it to a third playoff hole, and he was off the green, so I think he chipped it, and he ended up missing the chip, and that gave Sam Burns the win, and it gave him a back-to-back win at the Valspar Championship for his third PGA Tour victory in 2 years. It was pretty cool. It really was. It kept you on the edge of your seat. It was going back and forth. There were some great shots that were being played. I got a couple of tweets from Holger, and I was tweeting him back, and it was like, oh, my God. We couldn't believe what was going on. And it was actually a really good tournament. Did you get a chance to watch it?
Yeah, I watched it all the way up until the playoff, and then I had chore called. I couldn't So my wife wanted me to do something really bad, and I did it. Okay, I'm not proud of it, but I did it, and I missed the playoff. And I only tell you that in honesty. I'm not real happy about it, and I'm kind of sad. So let's not talk about that anymore.
Talk about what?
Exactly. Huh? But yeah, Sam, it was a great tournament up until the playoff. And you're right; it was back and forth. Some new players that we haven't really seen much of other than Sam Burns, but JT, he was right there at 16 under. He was just within one stroke of getting into the final, and it was a tough little course, I tell you. Long shot makers course.
Yeah, it is. You know what? These guys were really playing well with no wind. They were really lighting it up the first couple of days. And then the wind kind of picked up yesterday. And, overall, got to say, it was really cool. I got to say, for a tournament that it had some big names in there, not a lot of big names, but overall it was a pretty cool tournament. So they did a good job. Congratulations to Sam Burns. He gets his third PGA Tour victory and another 2-year exemption. So, you know, that young man's on a roll. He's going to be, I think he's part of the, I really do think he's part of the future. He's got a great swing. He's got he's young. He's what, 23, 24 years old, and he's learning how to win, and he's competing every week at the top. And that's really, really good. I mean, that's lots to be said for, you know, these young guys. But it also, I got to tell you, Al, I mean, when we were growing up, we didn't have the college we didn't have that advanced play as they do today. I mean, these young guys are coming out of college and they are ready for the pros. I mean, Davis Riley is just out of college. He's like 1 year out of college. And this kid is ready to play. I call him kid. He's only about 21 years old. You know, Naismith is the one who was in the running. You know, there's another guy who was right in there. It's like, dang, man. I got to say, college is really preparing these young men, and they're playing very, very well. So,
very the highest impressed. Levels of competition. It is good to see.
Yeah, yeah. And while we keep it on the theme of golf here for a second, if you don't mind us indulging, and this is important because it goes to, you know, what we talk about and have been talking about the last 15 years. There's a new Saudi league, and it's called LIV Golf Invitation Series. And the commissioner of this league is none other than the great Greg Norman. Greg Norman's had an issue with the PGA. He's had an issue for, I'm going to say 30 years, as far back as I can remember. For whatever reason, he and the PGA are like oil and water. And Norman's been trying to start a world golf league to compete with the PGA. And the PGA has done a lot of good things. I would be biased because of what the PGA has done and what they bring to the communities all across the United States. They raise a bunch of money. They've raised over, a couple of billion dollars for charities all over the United States. Wherever they have a tour stop, they have a fundraiser. They support the first tee, and really they help create the first tee, which is helping underprivileged children of all colors. Okay, they have a great minority sports program, and most of all, they actually support women's golf. Okay, and somehow Norman has a problem with the PGA, and of course he is. And I'm sure many of people have heard that he's recruited Phil Mickelson, who also believes that the PGA is greedy, even though Phil has made a ton of money, probably close to $1 billion when it's all said and done, with his $250 million plus pension that he may end up forfeiting because of he might be jumping to this LIV Golf Invitational League. So LIV Golf has released their intended tournament schedule for this year. The Saudi Arabians are the chief financial arm behind this. And what I find amazing is, like the NBA, who embraces communist China and communism and finds excuses to excuse communism, they can overlook human rights issues. They can overlook the imprisonment of the Uyghurs and put them in internment camps because, God forbid, in 1943, 44, Italians and Japanese were put in internment camps in the United States, and we owe them reparations, right? I mean, that's the whole woke cause now. But during this woke movement in America, it's okay that the NBA embraces the communist China and the communist ethics and the communist abusing of children with child labor and then forced labor camps and the Chinese people working for just dollars a day. So you've got both Greg Norman and Phil Mickelson getting in bed with the Saudis. And I'm sure it's purely money, because the Saudi Arabians are going to infuse a minimum of $255 million over 8 golf tournaments. So that's guaranteeing at least $20 million prize fund per tournament. And then there's some other prize money for each tournament based on individual performance, because this is going to be a team event. And there'll be 4 players per team, but there will also be individual prize monies as well. We don't know the entire extent of the type of play. However, there are also 54 holes for a golf tournament versus 72 on the PGA Tour. Hence, LIV is the Roman numeral for 54. That's how they came up with the LIV Golf Invitational Series, because it's a 54-hole tournament. There are 4 tournaments that we played in the United States, 1 in the United Kingdom, 1 in Thailand, 1 in Saudi Arabia, and then 1 to be determined. So I find it really ironic that the Saudis now are putting $255 million into this golf league through private funding sources. They don't have a roster yet. They've just announced their 6 sites that their 7 sites that they will be playing in. And we don't rightly know the entire format. So what we learned is that human rights violations mean nothing in sports any longer, Al. The subjugation of women in Saudi Arabia and the Islamic world means nothing when you throw $255 million plus, you know, over eight tournaments. And yet, I understand that Norman has a beef with the PGA, had a beef with the PGA, he still does. That man made hundreds of millions of dollars, thank you, PGA, over the 30 years that he played. And his objective is to break the PGA, and he's using a country that discriminates, that subjugates women, and demeans women as a source to attack the PGA. What's your take on this?
Well, I don't know. All I can say is the players better bone up on their Islamic law, because their contracts are going to be written by the Saudi Arabians under Sharia or Islamic law, not necessarily our Western law. So they better bone up on that. Some of the benefits to the players, they could take multiple wives if they so choose, or have temporary marriages legally, which is a big bonus for some of the players out there, if you know what I'm saying. But all that aside, I think that as a result of this, we're going to see the PGA raising their purse amounts to be more competitive. For example, the Valspar had a $7,800,000 purse. The tournament the week prior had a $20 million purse. And if it's going to be an average of $20-25 million for the eight games or eight tournaments, I think the PGA is probably going to step up and open up their wallet a wee bit more just to compete.
That is true.
But if you're a player, and I don't know. It's like, why not? You're not playing for Team Saudi Arabia. They're just sponsoring the tournaments.
That's true. But when you go to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, you better do what the Saudi Arabians say. I mean, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, they can't go to Mecca or Medina unless you're a Muslim. So that's off limits to them. I think that might be a little bit off-putting, but I don't think they'll care.
No.
I don't know. The whole thing just kind of quacks me up. How do you think?
Yeah.
I think it's going to happen. I think it'll happen. I think there's going to be a segment of the players that will go and play just because of the money, because there'll be less of a competitive field for the first year, at least, for the eight tournaments. Now, I don't know about this four-man team layout that you were talking about, or rules four-man, one-man. I don't know how that would work, but that I don't know. I'm not a big fan of team sports in golf. It's kind of like bowling. I don't like team bowling versus one-on-one bowling.
Well, that's just it. That, you know, when I read it, it's a 54-hole event, and it's going to be teams. It's like, okay, so is this like a scramble, and these guys, you know, are going to carry beers? I mean, so John Daly would be the perfect candidate for a team, because
yeah,
it's just like a scramble. And then the winning team is going to split the $20 million purse. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be top down, so it'll be like $3 million, and each guy gets what, you know, $600,000. And then they'll have a individual, overall individual, which that tells me that each player is going to be playing their own ball. If you're going to have an individual event, that means that each player has their own individual score. So
yeah.
I'm just curious, though, you know, meaning the Saudis keep talking about this is individual, this is private funding, okay? But, you know, what happens if the private funding doesn't materialize for the next year? Do they already have they secured the $255 million? Is Saudi Arabia, you know, ponying up the money and then going out to private investors to recoup that $255? And, you know, I don't know. I got a lot, you know, it's a startup. I understand that. It's in competition with the PGA, which is a proven entity. But I'll tell you what, if you give up your status on the PGA, you know, it could be a ban for life. And if this LIV tournament does not, or yeah, the LIV tournament does not materialize, and it only lasts a year. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to go throw bags at the local airport, you know, because you can't, you're certainly not going to get in any PGA events any longer.
Yeah. As far as the prize, I don't think it's a really big deal for the Saudis because the Saudi Arabia is popular. The King Abdulaziz Camel Festival, which kicked off earlier this month, invites the breeders of the most beautiful camels to compete for some $66 million in prize money. $66 million. And this is no joke. This is serious. The King Abdul Aziz Camel Festival is serious business. And the Saudi Arabians are ponying up $66 million for that. So $250 million for eight golf tournaments is cheap or equal to camel racing.
I'd walk a mile for a camel.
I would too. I mean, are there going to be carts or camels for the for? I mean, the jokes are endless. There's no doubt.
Yes, they are. You got to hump your own bag.
Yeah. Double hump.
Oh my gosh! So yesterday, when the PGA Tour was over, I turned it to NASCAR. NASCAR was at Atlanta Motor Speedway, and number 24 William Bryant held off the field, including Bubba Watson in the number 23 car. And of course, if you're a race fan, you know Bubba Watson is the only black driver. And then, of course, he was in second place, and you just wait. You wait for it because you know at some point in time he's going to wreck. And he didn't disappoint. He wrecked, caused a multi-car wreck, and William Bryant went on to win the NASCAR race yesterday. And then I was turning on in between events and commercials. I was watching the NCAA tournament, the men's tournament, Duke versus Michigan State. This is Coach Krzyzewski's, Coach K, his last year coaching Duke. The Duke Blue Devils took on Michigan State Spartans, and Michigan State's led by Tom Izzo. I really love those two guys. I love those two coaches. You know, I think Coach K was a guy that is a man that is quite inspirational, whether you like Duke or not. I think he's I find his coaching just absolutely outstanding. He's got five national championships. He's led his teams. He's put together some really great teams over the years, and he will be missed. I hope this is not the end of Duke's dynasty in the ACC, but, you know, basically – since Dean Smith left the University of North Carolina, you've seen the struggles that North Carolina has had. So we'll see. But in the end, Duke's Jeremy Roach hits a key three-pointer, putting Duke up by 478-74. It was a close game right down to the wire. The score doesn't indicate it, but Duke did come out on top, beating Michigan State to advance to the Sweet 16, 85-76. Houston, University of Houston beats Illinois. Villanova beats Ohio State, which I thought was pretty cool. And Villanova actually did a number on Ohio State. Kansas advances. They beat Creighton. Providence beats Richmond. And what's the novelty for that is poor Hank, his Iowa Hawkeyes, succumbed to the number 12 ranked Richmond. What was it, 67-60? They got spanked, actually. So poor Hank is still kind of reeling. But Ohio State, which is Iowa State, who's Iowa's, I don't want to say rivals, we'll say, did come out on top. They beat Wisconsin. So number 11 Iowa State advances to the Sweet 16, beating Wisconsin yesterday. And that was kind of interesting, 54-49. And Miami, University of Miami, beats Auburn. So
yeah, number two
seeds. Yeah, number one seeds going down, number two seeds going down, number three seeds going down. And so Miami of Florida handedly beats Auburn 79-61. Arizona beat TCU, which Arizona's the number one seed, then they should have. Michigan beat Tennessee. How about that, huh? Michigan beat Tennessee.
Yeah, I watched that game. That was a good one. And then the biggest knockout was North Carolina.
Yeah.
Beating number one Baylor.
Yeah. North Carolina beats Baylor. I mean, wow, that was huge. That was huge.
Yeah.
I mean,
that came down to the last couple of minutes of the game.
And then UCLA advances. They beat St. Mary's. St. Peter's beat Murray State. And Purdue beat Texas. So a number three seed, Texas loses to Purdue. Is that right?
Yeah, but St. Peter is the St. Peter who? We've all heard of St. Peter, but we didn't know St. Peter had a basketball program. And the St. Peter's Peacocks are the designated Cinderella team of this year's March Madness when they dropped number 7 Murray State. And it's the St. Peter's Peacocks. So I am now a Peacock fan, and I am rooting for the underdog and the Cinderella story, number 15 ranked St. Peter's.
Yeah, interesting, huh? Yeah, not bad.
Exciting. So, I love March Madness.
Hey, number 15 Purdue is making a run. So this is interesting. I got to say, it says 15, but I don't think Purdue is ranked 15. I thought they were ranked 6.
I don't know. Yeah. All I know is a lot of brackets were broken this week.
Yes, they were. I mean, if you're still alive, my bracket's definitely busted. I mean, it was I had Iowa beating Richmond on one bracket, and I had two brackets going at Richmond beating Iowa, because I think Richmond's a really good March Madness team. I didn't have Notre Dame advancing past Alabama. I thought Alabama was going to beat Notre Dame, and there went my bracket. And of course, with Baylor beating North Carolina, I was done on both of my brackets, so I'm dead. I didn't see some of these highly ranked teams beating, like Kentucky losing to St. Peter's. I mean, Kentucky, number 2 ranked, they came out flat as a pancake. On both of my brackets, I had Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, mama, Miami, and then Iowa State. I didn't think they would beat Wisconsin. Go ahead.
Yeah, and Miami Auburn. I was actually rooting for the Hurricanes. I hate the Hurricanes.
Ooh, my goodness gracious. That was bad.
Yeah, that hurt. But I was rooting for the Hurricanes, and they pulled it off. I can't remember the last time they made it to the Sweet 16. Very exciting stuff.
Yeah. And then don't forget, Arizona star copped a feel of the TCU cheerleader. Did not hear about that, Boyd. Huh. Maybe he was just excited. I don't know. So an Arizona player copped a feel of the TCU cheerleader. Ooh, youch. Hey,
not
speaking
good.
Of
camera.
We'll have to see. Speaking of the NCAA,
what's the penalty? What's the penalty for that?
I don't know, but the kid's a basket case. Ooh.
Wasn't all right,
no more.
Breast move.
Oh. Hey, speaking of breast and breaststrokes, in swimming, I don't know if you've seen it in the NCAA, but real biological female swimmers are starting to speak out. And, you know, I know they're trying to put a spin on this. They, women, are trying to put a spin on this, but there's no spinning any longer. They are disappointed. They are very frustrated over cross-dressing Leah Thomas's win. He won by nearly 3 seconds, destroying the field. In a letter posted on Instagram, Rika Georgi, a native of Hungary who was 5th-year senior at Virginia Tech, there you go, Boyd. I mean, fifth-year senior at Virginia Tech and a 2016 Olympian slammed the NCAA rules that allowed Thomas to compete against us who are biologically women. and she hoped that the NCAA will open their eyes and change these rules in the future. In a letter, Georgi, who noted she was a 2016 Rio Olympian, represented Virginia Tech for the past 5 years. She's a two-time ACC champion, two-time All-American, and a three-time honorable mention All-American. With all due respect, I would like to address something that is a problem in our sport right now, and it's hurting athletes, especially swimmers, Georgi wrote. Everyone has heard and known about transgender Leah Thomas and his case, including all the issues and concerns that, all right, her situation brought to our sport. It's not a her, he's a he. Georgi said that she respected and fully stand with Leah Thomas. You see, this is where she's trying to play both sides, but she's really upset. I mean, I am convinced that he is no longer different than me or any other D1 swimmer who has woken up at 5 a.m. her entire life for morning practice. Thomas is doing what she is passionate about and deserves that right. Well, then you can't be pissed. I'm sorry. You're lying when you're trying to appease Leah Thomas. You're lying. You were absolutely right the first time around in your initial outrage. And you as a biological woman should be outraged at what is happening to your sport. It is no different than track and field or weightlifting. On the other hand, I would like to critique the NCAA rules that allow Leah Thomas to compete against us who are biologically women. Okay, Georgi, you can't have it both ways, and you're right in your outrage. I'm writing this letter right now in hopes that NCAA will open their eyes and change these rules in the future. It doesn't promote our sport in a good way, and I think it's disrespectful against biologically female swimmers who are competing in the NCAA. This is my last college meet ever. I feel frustrated. It feels like that final spot was taken away from me because of the NCAA's decision to let someone who is not a biological female compete. It hurts me, my team, and other women in the pool. One spot was taken away from a girl who got ninth on the 500 free and didn't make it back to the A final, preventing her from being an All-American. Every event that transgender athletes competed in was one spot taken away from biological females throughout the meet. Now, why shouldn't they start speaking out? Why shouldn't biological females start speaking out and express their frustrations and disappointments, including with the NCAA? Biological women have worked hard their entire lives to train and attain the level of success in reaching the pinnacle of their sport, only to see the NCAA pull the rug right out from under their passion and penalize biological women by allowing cross-dressing biological males to take over their sport, whether it's swimming, track and field, or weightlifting. What a slap in the face to biological women who have been fighting for equal rights in sports. And to think their own governing body, the NCAA, would sell out biological women and women's sports, and it's just plain terrible. And I'm glad to see that at least the first step in breaking the ice and expressing their outrage and disappointment is finally coming out in the open. Leah Thomas is a biological male. A biological male.
Well, in the same story, Leah Thomas is allegedly quoted as saying, "Don't be so tough on me. I have a bone in this fight, too." Leah Thomas went on to say that he also has worked his balls off getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and he deserves the same shot as these girls. Close quote, sort of.
Didn't he compete for the University of Pennsylvania as a male and was an accomplished swimmer? may not have been the elite of the elite, but then he goes over and competes with females. I mean, it just, I'm sorry. This has got to stop. You know, on one hand, you know, which we have to understand that women's sports should be equal to men's sports. You know, we should start recognizing women. And Title IX is passed, and everybody's saying the right things about women's sports. And then a cross-dressing male comes in, and he starts entering track and field events and blowing away biological women. And now this guy puts on a bathing suit, and he identifies as a broad, and he jumps in the pool, and now he's walking away with wins and beating biological women who can't compete against that body mass. I'm sorry. Nope. It's wrong. It's wrong. And the NCAA has sold out biological women, and it's pretty sad. It really is.
But we are seeing in the last tournament that the girl swimmer who came in second, she was applauded, and she was actually handed by some people the first place trophy. And Leah Thomas, he was booed at the tournament after he won it. So there is some societal pushback, but this is a good case of where sports and politics intersect, and where this also, it even goes into our politics as well, because Dr. Rachel Levine, who is the undersecretary in the Health and Human Services Department, is also a cross-dresser. And he was named the woman of the year, USA Today's Women of the Year. So this has become a societal thing, and even to the highest levels of government. And I'm with you, Vito. This has got to stop. A guy is a guy. A girl is a girl. DNA don't lie.
That's right.
And if you're a male who identifies as a woman, well, then you're a cross-dresser. Okay. So you're a guy who likes to wear a job. That's fine. God bless you. Wear your, do whatever you want to do, but don't cross over into the other gender until you can have a baby.
Yeah, you know, and Boyd makes the right comment in the chat room. You know, why don't we see these same problems with women crossing over to men's sports? And the thing is, you know, nothing against the women. They can't compete against the men at the same level in most sports. And, you know, even golf, for crying out loud. You know, Susie Whaley, who is now the president of the PGA of America, she has tried to qualify for men's tournaments, and she can't. Okay, before anybody corrects me on this thing, okay, the issue is really simple. She competed in the U.S. Open qualifier, and they said, "Oh wow, she made it to the regionals, or she made the cut." You know, the problem was she didn't compete from the same tees as all men. That's wrong. You see,
right?
If she wants to compete for a U.S. Open spot, God bless you, go ahead. But go in and play from the same tees, and she wasn't. And they allowed her to move up to the next set of tees up, and that, I'm sorry, that is not right. That is not right.
No, if a woman wants to play in the PGA for the higher purses, she's got to play. It's just fine. There's nobody will say anything negative about it as long as they play from the back tees equal with the men.
That's right.
And if they can compete, I think it would make the sport that much more interesting.
Well, certainly. Annika tried it. She didn't make it. Even what's her name, Michelle Wee, who grew up playing against men in Hawaii,
right?
She couldn't qualify for a PGA event.
Yeah, and none of these chicks identified as a man.
That's right.
They identified with their natural born gender. So God bless. I thought it was great. I thought it was good for the sport when Michelle Wee went for it, and she played from the back tees.
She did.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she didn't walk. She didn't ride. She walked. Everything was.
She walked.
All things were equal. Let me put it this way: all things were equal, and in women's sports, all things are not equal because it's a man in a women's sport. Period.
And while we're on the
man, could a man, under the same logic, go to the LPGA and compete as a man, same place as the women?
No. It's because it's ladies professional golf.
But a woman can
golf.
Go and compete in the PGA. But a woman
right.
can compete in the PGA. But a Correct. Man, like let's say Phil Mickelson gets kicked out of the PGA, he goes to the LPGA, he couldn't do that.
No. To my knowledge, you can't.
Well, that's a double standard.
Well, but it's a ladies professional golf. That's why it's LPGA.
Right. Professional
so
Golf
I guess,
Association is genderless. And it's gender specific for the women. Okay, that makes sense.
I think that one day Vito's going to wake up and identify as a woman. I'll put my skorts on.
I'll still be your friend. I won't judge you. I'll tell jokes behind your back, but I won't judge you. And you'll make it. And I can I be truthful? You'd be a damn ugly woman. So I would reconsider.
Hey, but I get to play the red tees.
That's true.
I think it's absolutely wrong what the NCAA yeah. has done to women and women's sports, and it's really sad what we're seeing. And I congratulate the ladies for starting to speak out, because it is not right.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is track and field, whether it's swimming or weightlifting, it is not right, and something needs to be done. And it's time for the NCAA to stop with this woke crap and start coming to the side of biological women. Enough is enough. Enough
yep.
is enough.
Speaking of woke crap, the New York Times just validated that Hunter's laptop is real.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about frauds, right? And it turns out so Jim Hoft over at Gateway Pundit has been vindicated. So Rudy Giuliani has been vindicated. It was never a right-wing conspiracy story, nor a Russian-planted story, was it? Because it was true. It was true all along that Hunter Biden is a sordid individual. The Biden crime family is corrupt as hell. And the left wing in America, the DNC controls the media in this country, including social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook, who intentionally spike the story, and they censored Americans like President Donald Trump, okay, who were bringing to light this corruption by the scumbag Hunter Biden and the Biden crime family. And it turns out that 17 months later, guess what? The story was legit. It is legit. It always was legit. We knew this. The New York Times had no choice but to come out. So, Al, my question now is, since there was an intentional deception in 2020, in October of 2020, in order to protect Joe Biden, the Biden crime family, has Biden become so much of a liability that now even the liberals, the left wing, the communists, the Marxists now are all running a scared with the 2022 upcoming midterms, that they're all starting to maybe turn on Joe Biden and he's become a liability?
That's a very interesting angle. Very well could be. But this only becomes real if an indictment is filed against Hunter Biden, and the rumors are it'll be for some type of a tax evasion rather than for all the other drug use, corruption, Burisma. I think it's tax fraud. But unless an indictment's filed, it's just all a bunch of hot air.
Well, the investigation has been ongoing. Are they the New York Times and the liberal mouthpieces, which are run by the DNC, because the DNC coordinated this entire campaign of disinformation. When you look at what's being put out there on social medias, what's putting in articles about this, the New York Times legitimizing the story, and they're using YouTube videos to put together, a compilation of all these news reports, and like from CNN and MSNBC, CBS, where they were denouncing this as a Russian operative, a Russian story, a Russian smear tactic. President Trump was lying. Rudy Giuliani's lying. And it turns out that they were telling the truth. And so President Dummy is truly corrupt. He's a bought man. Hunter Biden is sordid. He takes, what, $3.8 million from the mayor of Moscow. And that turns out to be true. So since the Hunter laptop is real, and it certainly was Hunter's, the content of the hard drive is disturbing, and the Biden crime family is a crime family. They sold out America in order to enrich themselves at the expense of national security and our republic. The grand jury is still collecting witness testimony and records regarding his overseas business activities, business dealings with Ukraine, which of course now Russia is invading, and maybe all the records for Burisma will suddenly disappear, with China, with Russia. And of course, many of the DNC-controlled media outlets such as ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC continue to ignore the story today. The cover-up continues. And Biden and his crime family are corrupt as hell. And it turns out that Tony Bobulinski is vindicated, because everything that Tony Bobulinski said on 60 Minutes is absolutely true. And yet we are sitting here, you know, today as a result of the lies, the deception, the campaign of disinformation and misinformation by the DNC and their media outlets to deflect from the true story in October of 2020. It wasn't a last-minute Hail Mary by the Trump campaign. It turned out to be true. The FBI ignored this hard drive. The Biden and DNC team went after Jim Hoff at the Gateway Pundit. They went after and are still going after Rudy Giuliani. Tony Bobulinski has to have a 24-hour guard, bodyguard. His family had to go to an undisclosed location, because like the mafia, the Biden crime family will eliminate you. And Bobulinski knows where the bodies are buried, and that is a threat. And finally, a left-wing Marxist news outlet has, I guess, had enough. So I'm thinking that maybe Biden has become that liability. He's been nothing but a bozo this entire 17 months. Was it? No, sorry, 14 months. It feels like 17 months. It's 14 months. It's been one chaotic event after another. He botched Afghanistan royally. They botched the border. You know, he gave a bogus title to Cackles Harris of being, you know, the border czar. And now she's going to the border of Ukraine and Poland. And now, to make matters even worse, you got President Dummy who's flying to Poland later on this week. And he's going to meet with the NATO NATO states. And that in itself is going to be dangerous, because who knows what this buffoon's capable of saying. You know, he pushed Putin to have this war. And look at our energy prices. Our energy prices are through the roof. Thank you, Joe Biden, for siding with the Marxists, the communists of the Green New Scam deal. I mean, everything that guy has touched has turned to crap. Absolutely turned to crap.
Yep.
So, what do you make of this whole thing with the New York Times and now the? It turns out that the Hunter laptop is real.
Well, I know that it was true. You knew that it was true, and when we posted it on Facebook, Twitter, any of the social media, I can tell you that I was put in Facebook jail for even posting stories about it. And what we saw was the mainstream media. We saw the 51 U.S. experts and national intelligence on the Democrat side say that this laptop was not real. They gaslighted the entire country. My big question is, if this laptop had come out truthfully and opened up, would that have conceivably changed the election and made Joe Biden even more unelectable? And I think that it would have.
I have to agree with you as well.
Yeah, and OAN has been doing an investigative report, and they're bringing in the players from Ukraine, and they have facts and evidence that our ambassador was covering for the Clintons. He's got proof. A lot of talk, but still no indictments yet. So maybe this whole thing is finally unraveling. But the fact that it's coming out right now in the middle of this Ukraine war is sucking up all the oxygen for all the news. So maybe it's put out now by design.
Oh, that I have to agree with. Look, the Democrat Party doesn't do anything without a reason. Now, one, you know, on the one side of the coin, has Biden become a liability? And the answer is yes. You know, the Democrats love to live and die by polls. And, of course, the polling, any polling outlet can't come up and create, you know, the poll numbers that props up President Dummy, nor his idiot sidekick, Kamala Harris. And, you know, all they got to do is they have to talk. And when they talk, their poll numbers tank. And besides that, you've got people filling up their vehicles at the pump. People know that when President Trump was in office in 2019, even prior to the whole Wuhan virus scam, the pandemic, you know, there was no pain at the pump. You're paying $1.89, $1.65, $1.90 a gallon. Your 20-gallon vehicle was costing you, $40 to fill up. But you're also working 60 hours a week, 50 hours a week. You had a steady income coming in. Today, you fill your tank, it's $103, $104 to fill up, $60 more. You don't think that 60 bucks is painful? You have two vehicles, and it's costing you $60 each vehicle, $40. That's $100 a fill-up, and it's usually $100 a week. That's $400 a week right out of the family budget. And then, of course, you got the issue of groceries and food. You know, food is kind of a necessity for a lot of people, and you have to feed your kids. You have to feed your family, and you're seeing a 35, 40% increase just in food costs. So, you know, the people, everybody is feeling it. You know, Biden loves sound bites, the phony and the fraudulent Biden loves sound bites. If you make less than $400,000 a year, you're not going to pay one penny in taxes, one penny more in tax. Oh, okay, no, we're paying $5 more, $10 more, $100 more in taxes, thanks to your feckless policies. Again, the guy works in phony sound bites. So the issue is, one, is the New York Times kind of laying the groundwork because of the dissatisfaction of who they installed? He's become a liability, or the perfect timing to do a mea culpa and say, oh, well, the Hunter laptop is real, but now you've got the issue of Ukraine, Russia invading Ukraine, so it kind of takes a B1 page versus an A1 page. So you're right, Al. You know, the Democrat Party always has a reason for what they do. And what they are doing is a distraction. You know, just like the judge who's coming up for confirmation at the Senate hearing. Okay, so now we have a Senate hearing coming up with this judge. What the hell is her name? I got it right here. Hold on a second here.
Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that the Republicans are going to act as savagely in grilling this woman as the disgusting and disgraceful Democrat Party has? And of course,
not
I'm saying there's two parties, you know, and they're not. They're not. And
they've already said as much.
Well, yeah. What's his name? I heard Cruz's opening statement today, Senator Cruz. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the destructive Democrat Party has zero respect for the rule of law and any nominee who's recommended by a Republican president. And conversely, the Republicans, and especially in name only, will take the ever high road. And not to disrespect the mean, smear, destroy a nominee's character during the nomination process. There will not be any liars pranced out to make baseless character assassinations and false statements to destroy a person, as was done with Justices Thomas and Kavanaugh. While this tarnished nominee, Ketanji Brown, will face the Senate, Republicans will lead a civil process before they approve her nomination, and yet another nail in our republic's coffin will be placed. And certainly the anti-American-led Senate will confirm a radical anti-American as a Supreme Court justice. And despite the discriminatory pick of Brown being yet another slap in the face to the U.S. Constitution and America's constitutional republic, Biden's nominee was chosen solely on the basis of her skin. And shame on President Dummy for violating U.S. discrimination law. But whoever said Biden respects the U.S. Constitution and the rule of law, remember the words of Dr. Martin Luther King in his I Have a Dream speech. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And Joe Biden lacks that character. And Joe Biden chose an individual solely on the basis of her skin, returning America back to pre-1963 era. This is the destructive Democrat Party. This is the Marxist movement of dismantling America. A nominee unqualified and chosen not by the content of her character, but chosen for the color of her skin. Shame on that blithering idiot Biden. Shame on him. But he feels no shame. That's the sad part of it, Al. And the Republicans, will they object to this woman? Let's see how forceful they will be. They don't have to be rude, impudent, and obnoxious like the destructive Democrat Party is. But they certainly can cast doubt on this individual who has a record, and it is not a very good judicial record. What do you think is going to happen?
I think the Republicans are going to cave. They're already even pulling Bob Barr onto Fox News, and he's saying how qualified she is and that she should get the nomination. Like you said, Ted Cruz even said pretty much the same thing, that they're going to act how badly the Democrats acted. We're not going to act that way. We're going to be civil and have decorum because we're better, which means they're just going to roll over and not ask her any questions. And you have that one CNN analyst whose name escapes me who came on air and said that any hard questions that they're asking her is because they're trying to get her killed. So that's going to scare these establishment. It's going to scare these establishment Republicans, and they're going to justify their yes vote because one L liberal gone, one liberal in. It's a net wash, is how they look at it. Nothing on the court changes, except for now they have a woman who has actively tried to get pedophile crimes. Get the 5-year minimum lowered. She should be disqualified just for that alone. She's an activist judge. Because a judge's job is not to make law, it's to interpret the law as written. That is what a true constitutionalist does. This woman is not that. I don't think she's had that many scholarly papers written. I don't think that she's considered a scholar on the Constitution. As far as I know, she may have some practical experience as a judge and in courtroom legal proceedings. But like you said, President Biden said he wanted a black person to be nominated. Are any of the Republicans going to ask her, were you offended when the president, are you here because President Biden said he wanted a black nominee, or are you here because of your record? That would be a fair question. And are you at all, what's your feelings on being identified by your race first and your professional career second? Will they ask that? Hell no.
No.
They should. I think that's a fair question.
No, I mean, they wouldn't ask questions like that. Come on, Al. I mean, we are above this. You know, we're about civility and you know, we take this job carefully. And you know, what's your favorite ice cream, Judge Jackson? You wrote
Vanilla. You racist.
Yeah, and Biden gets away with being a racist is what he is.
Essentially, violating. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Affirmative action racist. He's choosing her for the color of her skin because he knows the Republicans aren't going to deny the first black woman nominee. They're not going to have that. They don't want to be on that side of history. He knows it. So he got the most liberal activist judge he could find, and there she is.
Well, and you know, it's funny. It's always symbolism over substance with the destructive Democrat Party. It's always symbolism over substance. We've already had, you know, Thurgood Marshall. He broke the color barrier back in the 60s. Or was it 70s when he was appointed as judge, appointed to the Supreme Court, and he won that nomination. It was confirmed. Then, of course, you had the destructive Democrats who tried to derail Justice Thomas's nomination. And again, the destructive Democrats, even back then in the 1990s, decided they were going to go ahead and try to destroy the man's character. And then, of course, you've got the you've got today's, well, it's a woman, it's a black woman, and now it's symbolism over substance. Her qualifications are irrelevant. The fact that she's a black woman, that's all that matters. And it's okay that the president of the United States engaged in discrimination. It's okay now. You know, again, it's funny. I heard her opening statement. She talked about the civil rights movement and the civil rights and how the civil rights bill passed and it opened up the doors. And in the meantime, you have a president of the United States who engaged in discriminatory tactics and chose a woman, an unqualified one, based solely on the color of her skin, not the content of her character. And sadly, the Republicans will fold. Like you said, they will cave.
Yeah. And speaking of Judge Thomas, breaking news is that he was hospitalized yesterday with flu-like symptoms. He's expected to be released in coming days. So I pray that he has a quick recovery.
Yes. Yeah, I hope he's not Scalia'd.
Yeah, or having a reaction to the shot.
I think Rafael Nadal, the tennis star, may have been having some reactions to the jab, boy, I'll tell you. Saint Kathy, according to this, to a song I once heard in the Catholic Church, has canonized Saint Caffeine. So yes, caffeine deserves great respect. I drink black coffee. I have nothing against. That's the way I like my coffee. So, the Gateway Pundit, Al, Jim Hawk, had a really good story, and you know, it's what I found interesting about the story. It ties in with the Muslim Brotherhood's mission. And if you remember that the Muslim Brotherhood's mission, the mission statement that was uncovered in from the writings that was found in a sub-basement in Annandale, Virginia, stated that the Ikhwan must understand their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying America from within. And lo and behold, there is an article that the Gateway Pundit had reported, and it is titled, Salvadorian President Nayib Bukele Breaks the Silence and Points Out the Obvious on Biden Regime. The USA can't be destroyed so quickly unless the enemy is from within. And I thought it real interesting that it takes a president, a politician, a foreign leader from El Salvador to speak the obvious, to break the ice, and to talk about the enemy within the United States. And President Bukele had tweeted out this: the most powerful country in the world is falling so fast that it makes you rethink what are the real reasons. Something so big and powerful can't be destroyed so quickly unless the enemy comes from within. The enemy from within. Same tactic and motivation as the Muslim Brotherhood. The destructive Democrat Party and the D.C. cabal know the best way to dismantle our constitutional republic is to destroy it from within. Obama made that his mission. Hillary was to continue that mission, but Trump disrupted the train of abuses and destruction of our constitutional republic from within. But the cabal made sure to get back on track and run their Japanese-style fast train was to install Obama's chimpanzee, Joe Biden. And after all, the buffoon Biden was half of the Obama-Biden duo anyways. If international leaders such as the president of El Salvador sees what's going on in America, we American patriots know the mission to dismember and dismantle our constitutional republic is true, just like the Hunter Biden laptop was true. You cannot destroy a big and powerful America so quickly unless the enemy comes from within. And the enemy from within is clear. It's Obama. It's Biden. It's Pelosi. It's Harris. It's Schumer. It's McConnell, the FBI and DOJ upper echelon, all from within. And don't you find it ironic, Al? It takes a foreign leader from a small country, El Salvador, to speak the truth. And of course, the only place you're going to see it is from alternative media sources. I mean, we're talking about under Biden, you have wide open borders, 2 million illegal immigrants flooding through the country in 1 year. And I bet it's even more than 2 million. More this year, surrender of Afghanistan, abandoning the central base, arming the Taliban with $80 billion in U.S. weaponry, dead soldiers in retreat, shutting down the energy sector, which made America dependent again, thanks to Joe Biden, record spending, record inflation, nearly 10% annually, thanks to Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Joe Biden. Highest gas prices in history. Destruction of the First Amendment led by big tech. And to me, that's quite important because the Gateway Pundit knows firsthand they were suspended, banned from Twitter. President Trump, the president of the United States, was censored and banned from Twitter. He was banned from Facebook. Hell, you were banned from Facebook or received a suspension because you put out something about Hunter Biden's laptop, which was run by the New York Post, the oldest newspaper in the United States. corrupt media gaslighting the public, total destruction of the working class. Oh, we all heard the soundbite from Biden. If you make $400,000 a year or less, your taxes won't be raised a penny. A politicized and broken Justice Department. You had the U.S. Justice Department, the FBI. The FBI engaged in spying on an American citizen. Spying on their political opponents. Spying on their political opponents. And then lying about it. You had them creating and manufacturing a phony Russian narrative, Russian collusion narrative, and it was furthered by the Justice Department. It was manufactured by a presidential candidate from a major political party, and the party that was in power, Obama-Biden, furthered the lie. Talk about a broken Justice Department.
Well, remember there was the presidential debate between Trump and Biden where Trump called out the whole matter of the laptop and Biden responded that leaders, quote, 50 of them of the intelligence community signed a letter declaring it was Russia disinformation. Those officials included General Michael Hayden, former director of both CIA and NSA, John Brenner, former CIA director, James Clapper, former director of national intelligence, and Leon Panetta, to name just a few. And that happened in cadence with media and big tech repeating the same thing. They shut it down. And now it's all coming out as truth.
Yeah. Coming out as true.
And none of these 50 experts have even done a mea culpa. They just say no comment, according to reports from Fox News today.
Yeah, and you
don't
still
forget
have...
that. Don't forget that interview that President Trump had with Leslie Stahl, which you played,
yes.
That you had the clip of. And Leslie, the exchange between Trump and Leslie Stahl is insane. She repeatedly insists the Biden laptops can't be verified, so reporters shouldn't talk about it. Trump asks her why it can't be verified. Her answer, because it can't be verified. She's arguing with the President of the United States on this and is wrong.
Here we go. This backs up your point. Here you go.
I wish you would interview Joe Biden like you interview me. It would be so good. You know what? I don't mind it. But when I watch him walk out of a store and he's walking with ice cream and the question the media asks him, what kind of ice cream, what flavor ice cream do you have? And he's in the midst of a scandal.
He's not.
And he's taking...
He's
of course
not.
He is,
no.
Leslie.
Come on.
Of course
no.
He is. It's the biggest, second biggest scandal.
So,
the biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign,
there's
Leslie.
There's no real evidence of that.
Of course there is.
No.
It's all over the place. Leslie,
sir,
they spied on my campaign and they got caught.
Can I say something? You know, this is 60 Minutes.
Oh.
And we can't put on things we can't verify.
You won't put it on because it's bad for Biden.
We can't
put on things
we can't verify.
Leslie, they spied on my campaign.
Well, we can't verify
it. It's been totally
that.
Verified.
No.
It's been, just go down and get the papers. They spied on my campaign. They got caught.
No.
And then they went much further than that, and they got caught. And you will see that, Leslie. And you know that, but you just don't want to put it on the air.
As a matter of fact, I don't know that.
Okay.
Oh, no, no, Al, I don't know that. No, Al, it's not true.
Oh,
wish 60
come
minutes,
on,
Al.
Mr. President, you know. Oh, come on, Al.
No, it's not true. It's not true, Al. No, no. Bigfoot, it's not true. Why are you putting it out on your blog spot? It's not true. It's not true. Oh.
Well, Leslie Stahl, we demand that you give a mea culpa and apologize to President Donald Trump for what you said during that interview that half the nation, well, all right, okay, so your numbers aren't that great, your viewership, not a quarter of the nation, oh, well, maybe not even a quarter, maybe one 1/8 of the country saw that live. So maybe you should give a mea culpa to the entire country for setting the president up, Trump up, and then lying about it and arguing with him in a very unprofessional manner.
Well, you know, it was unprofessional, but here it is. You have a media in the country that is biased and is bought and sold by the Democrat Communist Party, and they wanted to dictate the narrative. The idea was to remove Trump. There were so many anonymous sources, so many false stories, so many manufactured stories. The whole Russian collusion was manufactured, and even Mueller, in his $25 to $30 million expense, investigation expense, on page 2 had to state the truth. There was no evidence that Donald Trump nor anyone in his campaign colluded with Russia. And then, of course, we find out 4 years later that it was actually Hillary Rodham Clinton and her campaign that were the ones that created and manufactured this phony Russian collusion story. And it turns out the Steele dossier was phony. And it turns out that the Obama-Biden administration knew this. And yet the president of the United States, was engaged in authorized the investigation, the covert action against a political opponent. And you want to call it a political opponent because it was the same media that was willing to further the story that the reason why Donald Trump was impeached over Ukraine was because he was going after a political opponent. When in fact, Joe Biden hadn't even declared he was running for president. He was still on the fence whether he was going to run. So he wasn't a political opponent. He was a Democrat in name only. So there's two sets of standards here. There's one by the corrupt cabal in D.C. That's the swamp on both sides of the aisle. And there's one for anybody they don't agree with. The media, hold you correctly. The media is complicit. They're not biased. That is correct. They are complicit. They are complicit in furthering a phony story. They're complicit in covering up the fact that Hillary Rodham Clinton and then DNC chair, little Debbie Wasserman Schultz, they rigged the Democrat presidential primary. And they were complicit in covering up the fact that Debbie Wasserman Schultz had to resign her chairmanship from the DNC in shame. You go, there is no shame when you're a Democrat. And then, of course, we know in October of 2020, the media was absolutely complicit in covering up the fact that the Hunter Biden laptop was real. They tried to destroy Jim Hoft of the Gateway Pundit. They tried to destroy and are still trying to destroy Rudy Giuliani. And the social media platforms in this country, which are absolutely anti-constitutional, shut down the president of the United States. They censored the president of the United States. They censored him. And they censored a fellow media outlet, the New York Post. The New York Post, the oldest newspaper in the United States, was censored by social media. Oh, well, they violated their rules. Bullshit. There's something called free speech in America, and the social media platforms don't adhere to that. Hell, they spiked you, Al. They put you in Facebook jail for having the audacity to resend a Hunter Biden laptop story.
With pictures.
With pictures. The media in this country is an arm, an extension of the DNC. And the DNC has turned out to be not the Democrat National Committee, but the Democrat National Communist Committee. They are the true fascists. They are the true haters of our Constitution. They use the U.S. Constitution to destroy the Constitution. Oh, in this same article, by the way, in the Gateway Pundit, the same article regarding the El Salvadorian president, Nayib Bukele, who breaks the silence, breaks the silence and points out the obvious on the Biden regime, the USA can't be destroyed, so quickly unless the enemy is from within. And President Bukele replied back to a Bloomberg opinion tweet. Now get this, okay? This is how condescending, insensitive, and how the left lacks any type of empathy for the American people, okay? This is the Bloomberg opinion, March 19th. Inflation stings most of you earn less than $300,000 a year, okay? So remember, now they're using $300,000, not $400,000 a year, but $300,000 a year, okay? So the Democrat Party just picks a number out. Okay, the cabal decides that the good talking soundbite today will be $400,000. No, this year it's going to be $300,000. Okay, so the Bloomberg opinion sends out a tweet: inflation stings. Most of you earn less than $300,000 a year. Here's how to deal with it. Okay, number one, Bloomberg says take the bus. So if you earn less than $300,000 a year, the way to deal with inflation is take the bus. Don't buy in bulk. Here, this one, number three, try lentils instead of meat. So for you people that make less than $300,000 a year, to cope with the 30, 40, 50% increase in groceries, try eating lentils instead of meat. Nobody said this would be fun. Look how condescending Bloomberg opinion is, huh? This is the leftists in America today. This is what the DNC is putting out. You know, if you make less than $300,000 a year, we feel for you, but we really don't. So take the bus. Stop driving. And don't buy in bulk. Don't go to Costco or don't go to BJ's and Warehouse or Sam's Club. Okay? Just buy one can of tuna fish. And instead of eating meat, okay, instead of eating chicken or beef or pork, okay, buy lentils. Fuck you. Who in the hell do you think you are? I mean, you want to talk about condescending. You want to talk about a left wing that lacks the empathy? This is where were we in 2018, 2019, even early 2020? America was on the right road of economic recovery. But you see, the destructive Democrat Party has to draw that line in the sand, and they have to define. Everything is about definition. Well, if you make less than $200,000 a year, if you make less than $300,000, if you make less than $400,000 a year, and you know what? It's okay because gas prices are intentionally rising, and this is all intentional. So take the bus. Matter of fact, why don't you go buy a bike and start riding a bike? There's nothing wrong with lentil soup, but Bigfoot, not many people like that. I can't get my wife to eat lentil soup. I'll eat lentil soup. I'm Italian. I don't care. But try lentils instead of meat? What the fuck is that? I mean, that's just absolutely wrong. So let's not address the issues in America. Let's not address why inflation is the way it is. Let's not address the fact that this administration, the Biden-Harris-Obama administration, took us off energy independence. And the fact is that it takes a truck to deliver the goods around the United States. And when you look at the sign, it says $5 a gallon for diesel, when in fact it was at $2 a gallon just 2.5 years ago, just 2 years ago, just like 18 months ago, it was $2 a gallon. What do you think these small businessmen are going to do? They're going to pass the increased costs on to you and me. And we're going to pay higher prices, but we have to deal with it. You know, if you make less than $300,000 a year, just deal with it. Just deal with it, because it's not going to get any better. Nobody said it'd be fun. Oh, but in the meantime, the Bloomberg News now, instead of it being $3, it's going to be $5. But deal with it. I mean, this is how liberals think. This is the Marxist mentality. Just deal with it. You want to deal with the phone call?
Sure. Put them on.
All right.
Or her. Or it. Or she. Or he.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Global Patriot Radio. You're on the air, so let's deal with it.
This is Hank.
How are you doing, Hank?
This is your lentil eating, bus riding scumbag, sub 300K a year Wednesday host. What kind of racket you guys running anyway, thinking that people deserve to eat anything other than lentils? I mean, that's just, you know, when did we ever earn the right to have our own vehicle? By the way, take the bus. I forgot. Did the bus become free?
Yeah, I mean, right?
Yeah. Do you think maybe, like, public transportation costs might just go up, like, in the next couple months? Like, as they say, to recover rising fuel costs? God, I mean, only Bloomberg would come out with an article like that. I swear to God.
It was a tweet.
They fit all that into a tweet?
They put that in a tweet. Inflation stings most if you earn less than $300,000. Here's how to deal. Take the bus.
And they did all that in a tweet? Wait a second. Because you can't fit all that in a tweet.
Sure, you can.
Bloomberg can, I guess.
Yeah, it's less than 140 characters.
You know, I got to say something else. You said Biden, Harris, Obama administration, and think about that. Because think about what Barack Hussein Obama, in other words, BHO, this was planned from the get-go, I'm telling you. BHO, his initials, Biden, Harris, Obama. Yeah, I didn't even see here until you just said it tonight. I caught it now. This was planned out from the beginning. This was planned out. This started November 9th, 2016 is when they started this. Think about that.
Oh my God! Yeah, you get it, Hank. You get a Mamma Mia for that one. That is BHO. Oh,
so yeah, Biden, Harris, Obama, or Barack Hussein Obama. Same thing, interchangeable.
Biden heels up, Obama.
Yeah. So Biden heels up Obama. Oh. So anyway, well, hey, I just wanted to call. I was listening. I was a quality rant, of course, and I just want to let everybody know I'm going to try my best to eat lentils and understand that nobody said it would be fun. I mean, I feel bad that I've been sulking about inflation, and I realize I don't have any right to.
Hank,
we're all in this together.
Yeah, we certainly are. Well, see, it seems like some are more in it together than others, though, because they're telling me it seems like what I should be happy with or unhappy with and all that. They're not telling people that make $302,000 how to live, because evidently, you know, here's the other thing I don't understand. So inflation doesn't affect wealthy people? I mean, if you're a wealthy guy or gal and you're going out and you're buying $10 cigars, well, suddenly those cigars are costing $15. You know, that bottle of wine that you get at the restaurant, that's no longer $125. That's $180. I mean, now, here's how they would justify it. Well, we tip more then. We tip these lowly people more. So maybe that's how they explain it. I don't know. But inflation affects everybody, you know. I mean, these morons think that wealthy people won't care. No, wealthy people, there'll be, quote-unquote, less trickle-down with inflation. So those But nobody ever said it would be easy, so.
Which they're happy about, by the way, so.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm thrilled.
Well, the most insane thing is that this group of reporters believe that 300,000 is an average income for Americans. When I don't know that many American families that earn 300K a year.
No,
I doubt on a percentage scale, it's in the top 5% at least.
Yeah, there are probably. Well, you know, Holzer did a good tweet the other day. It would be a good question: are there more people who earn $300,000, or are there more people who've been victims of having their sex stuff put on social media? Remember, Dopey Joe said that. You know, we all know someone that's been a victim of this. And it's like, well, let's put that to the test. So are there more victims of revenge porn on social media or whatever, or are there more people earning $300,000 a year? That's a good one. Maybe we ought to, if next time Holzer's on, we maybe get him to put up a poll or have him research that in advance so we can all call in on his show and get the results. So,
well, there's a lot of that on Hunter's. There's a lot of that on Hunter's laptop, I can tell you that, with him in a boa and underwear and him banging whores and doing drugs.
Malia Obama.
Yeah, but nobody told him it was going to be tough, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's another point. They knew that story was true. They knew it, and they still withheld it. And we're supposed to sit by and say, well, I mean, I don't think we should be under any illusion. Al, you said way back in November of 2020, you know, for those that think President Trump is suddenly going to be president no matter what the fraud was, you're mistaken. And part of the reason that came true, I think, was because I think there were enough people in the Republican Party that also sold him out. And that's, you know,
yep.
So it's not just a matter of winning in November. It's not just a matter of taking back this house or that house. It's more a matter of also cleaning out some of the people that did that selling out. So,
well, there's no cleaning house. Just look at the Ketanji Brown Jackson SCOTUS nominee, where Bob Barr is shilling for the Democrats. The Republican establishment's already stating that they're going to cave and not put up any type of a fight. So,
well,
they're still there.
I still think. I mean, Mike, my buddy that calls in on my show, made a good point. This ain't the hill they're willing to die on before November. You know, I mean,
right.
or wrong, I think that, you know, there is a bit of that. You know, if you're the, well, Ronna McDaniel's not necessarily the one that you want leading that charge anyway. But, you know, I mean, if you asked her, I'm sure that's what she'd say. They're not willing to die on that hill. And like it or not, that's, you know, that's a strategy. You know, I mean,
she's worthless.
Yeah. You know.
What were you saying, Vito, before I interrupted you?
I was saying I don't know anybody who was was involved in a sex scandal that was aired on any type of social media platform. So, I mean, you know, more people have.
So if you know one person that makes $300,000, then there's, we have our answer. I mean, I'd say that's a representative, you know, representative enough sample. No, I mean, Olger made a great point. During that speech, he says, we've found a new cause of civil rights, which, what the hell? And then he says, you know, he goes, we all know someone that's, you know, that's had pictures of themselves or something put on social media, or put on the internet. And Olger's like, really? I don't know anybody. I mean, think about that. Who the hell? I mean, we also, it's like people just sit around and talk around the fire pit saying, you know, I can't believe Joe put that about me. You know, I can't believe Mary put my picture on the internet. I mean, think about that. I mean, what a sick, that's why I said in response, what a creepy bastard. Because really, think about it. What a creepy bastard. Who is sitting around wondering about victims of revenge porn? I mean, what president have we had in our lifetime that has sat around worrying about victims of revenge porn when, by the way, these nuclear countries over in Eastern Europe are about to friggin' nuke everybody back into the Stone Age, and we're worried about friggin' revenge porn? Good Lord. Oh, God. I better let you guys go. You only got 20-some minutes.
Hey, Hank, are there any pictures of Leah Thomas's unit rolling around anywhere?
There is a possibility, a possible interview with Willia Thomas, that's the proper name, this Wednesday on the show. Word is Willia Thomas can be pretty cranky during interviews, but also I've also heard Willia Thomas got some balls. So I don't know. You know, it's hard to say. I mean, the question is, what's bigger, her lower unit or her Adam's apple? I mean, it's just a question. It's just a question. Yeah, I'm not making any judgments on that. I'm just saying. It's a valid question.
That's a riveting conversation for Wednesday.
I know, Hank, that you will get to the bottom of this and report back to us next week.
Well, if you listen in Wednesday or listen in the archive, there is a possible interview with Willia Thomas. So all I'm saying, I'm just teasing that out there for the listeners out there, and it could happen Wednesday. So,
ooh, what time is your show Wednesday?
5:30. No telling when Willia would be on, but 5:30 is the show. So it would be must listen. Whether it's Will Thomas, Leah Thomas, or Willia Thomas, you know, you just have to put it in that perspective. So, and like I say, possible. There's no guaranteeing it would be the actual person for some reason. I mean, you just don't know. You never know. That's the thing about a TG. It's sort of like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. I mean,
and think about it. Can you imagine? It's like, hi, Leah, this is Hank. Hi, Hank. I mean, hi, Hank.
Hi, Hank. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You don't even know. I mean, Ivy Leaguer, really? I mean, I don't know. There's just we'll try and get to the bottom of it. We will get to the nuts and bolts of it on Wednesday.
All right. So you'll be cool. On
so Wednesday.
The rumor has it that Leah Thomas sounds like Charlie Rangel.
Yes, very possible. Very possible, Vito and Al. That's very possible.
Or
Fauci, depending on.
This is Charlie. How are you? I was in the pool and I was swimming. I was taking a swim and I was making my $750,000 a year just on my swimming endorsements.
And this presence paddled right past me. Sort of a dangling feeling. Oh, God. And now I'm talking like Krusty the Clown.
So sorry about your Iowa Hawkeyes, by the way. I know they lost in the first round against Richmond. And it was, I'm sure it was a little bit of a stunner and disappointment, but sorry about your Hawkeyes.
It sucked. Well, then the Lady Hawkeyes go out yesterday as a 2 seed on their home court and lose to 10 seed Creighton. And let's not forget Holder had the men's team from Creighton making the Sweet 16, or not the Final Four, but I think he had them making the Sweet 16. They did not, but still, that was not a bad pick by him. So.
No.
He said brackets broken all across the country, a lot of tears being shed.
Yeah, but I mean, Holter said he had 8 of 16 teams, so you know, maybe we're going to be drinking on his dime for a while. He won't have to be eating lentils if Holter wins this thing with one of his low seeds. He won't be eating lentils for quite a while.
Well, Holter said that joke.
Teams?
What's that?
Did he do it by uniforms? Or what? I don't know.
Holter, I think, does it by average temperature. You know, like the divergence in temperature from the Minnesota mean, I think, is how he does it, which is why he didn't. Mm. Although he did pick some southern teams too. I don't know. I don't know how he does it. I know how I do it. I do it by uniform color, but that's just me. So anyway, hey, I'll let you guys go.
All right.
Great show. Great to listen as always. And we will talk to you later and tune in Wednesday.
All right. Leah Thomas,
thanks,
Andrew, Hank Jones, Poly Sports, Wednesdays, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Right here at Global Patriot Radio. Thanks, Hank. Good talking to you as always.
Das Vidanya.
Das Vidanya. But he has it right. You know, I mean, just, you know, take a bus, you know. Just do what Bloomberg says. Just take a bus. I mean, I'll tell you, I just find this whole thing. First of all, you know what we're seeing at the pump today is something that is meant to happen. It was intentional, and now you've got the left wing organizations who are trying to justify it, not even excusing the fact that we're paying $4 mm-hmm. a gallon for gas, not even excusing the fact that we were paying $1.68. Just 18 months ago, $1.89. I remember in December of 2020 paying $1.89 a gallon. I mean, you know, and you can't just don't even bother disputing that, okay? Because it's a fact. I have a receipt that even says so. And today, you know, I spent $4 a gallon, $3.99.9 cents for a gallon of gas. I mean, it's disgusting. It should have never happened. But when you have an administration that's beholden to the green scam, to the radical anti-American left-wing green community, when in fact the United States of America is the only country on this green scam standard, and now we are dependent once again. Make America dependent again. And that's exactly what the Democrat Party slogan is. It's exactly what Biden-Harris were installed to do. Make America dependent again. We're the laughing stock of the world. I mean, the president of El Salvador, how many people are in El Salvador? 7 million? 5 million? 3 million? And he absolutely nails it. The dismantling of America will happen from within.
The Muslim Brotherhood knew this back in 1994 when they wrote the explanatory memorandum. How do you destroy America from within? And we have these anti-Americans in government today. And yes, anti-Americans. There's no way, shape, or form that somebody as dumb as Joe Biden is that dumb. I'm sorry. What we're seeing today is intentional. He intentionally botched Afghanistan. Again, it was an anti-Trump movement. He's intentionally botched the energy in America. Why? Because it was an anti-Trump movement. Maryland suspended the gas tax, according to Bigfoot. As a result, they're paying $3.80 a gallon instead of over $4.20. Pennsylvania, big, also suspended the gas tax, 54 cents a gallon. So suddenly these artificial reductions of fuel are because of state gas taxes. Still, $3.87 a gallon in Maryland, when in fact we were looking at $1.90 a gallon, $1.68, $1.80 a gallon. Why? Because America was energy independent. And how did that happen? Because the president believed in the American people, believed in America. And the goal was to make America independent and not rely on foreign sources for oil, for our energy. And somehow that's a bad thing. Oh, that's nationalism. That's white nationalism. No, it's not white nationalism. It's called energy independence. There's no way, shape, or form, and there's no reason why America, the one of the largest countries in the world, innovative country in the world, should be dependent upon OPEC, Russia, Venezuela, another communist country. Joe Biden and company are doing a tremendous disservice, and they are just intentionally harming the United States of America. They are a national security threat. God, Mike.
Well, it gets even worse. Reporting yesterday, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, says it accidentally inflated pediatric COVID data used in media scare pieces and cites the reason for this happening as, quote, coding logic error. The CDC says it accidentally inflated pediatric COVID data. The result of that, if you remember, Justice Sotomayor saying that hospitals are almost at full capacity and there are over 100,000 children hospitalized with COVID, many on ventilators. You remember this back on January 7th? That was
absolutely
all a lie based on the – we even said it was a lie. We even commented on it. Because I remember it completely. Well, the CDC screwed the pooch. Their data, and they blamed a coding logic error. Why heads are not rolling at the CDC is beyond me, because policy was made based on these CDC numbers, and they have to be accurate. And if they're calling it a coding logic error, that means that all the numbers are bad from the foundation up. This is a big story, and it's getting zero press for the most part. WND reported it. I don't know how many other news outlets picked it up, but I sure as hell haven't seen it anywhere.
And you won't. You won't see this. You know, that's the whole thing. That's why this whole thing stinks. This whole issue with COVID absolutely stinks. It was nothing more than government control. You know, that is why you've got Biden pulling the rug on monoclonal antibodies. How dare that you sit there and you attempt to treat the condition with ivermectin or hydrochloroquine or monoclonal antibodies, all sources of therapy that have worked. Instead, they'd rather put you on a ventilator, give you the medication, and then you possibly maybe one out of 10 will survive. Otherwise, you're dead. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, including even a regimen of over-the-counter vitamins and exercise and getting up and walking. The CDC or Fauci never gave those recommendations to the American people. And what they did was criminal. And our medical system, doctors are at their lowest levels of respect. Doctors used to be the most respected people within our community and the most trusted for that matter, but those days are gone. Gone forever, I'm sad to say. And that is one of the biggest losers of all this, not to mention the 90 or 85% of the American people that took this supposed vaccine and then boosters 1, 2, 3, and 4, now they're trying to give it to 5 and under. All I can tell you is I am glad as hell I never got the shot because I have been vindicated that shot just does not work. It doesn't have the longevity, and it's an experimental drug.
Agree 100%.
Yeah,
something was
CDC,
definitely wrong.
Yeah, and the CDC, there should be massive firings over there. Because
but
the damage that they're doing policy. No, the damage they're doing policy wise is immeasurable.
Yeah, but the issue is, Al, the CDC, these government bodies, they did what they were supposed to do. It justified the shutting down of the economy. It justifies the control of the American people. I was walking through the grocery store on Sunday, and I was honestly taken aback by the number of people that were walking around with masks. I could not believe the people that were walking into the grocery store with masks on, their kids with masks on. I saw a jogger today. She's jogging with a mask on. I'm stunned. I was stunned. I was amazed as to how many robots there are that are still programmed, okay, to be wearing a mask. You know, I understand if you got cancer and your immune system is compromised. Look, I understand that. But even like what's her name from the American Spectator, is it? I think she is. I forgot the periodical. The Federalist. She tweeted out. Did you notice on the dance, the NCAA, that the players and the fans, that nobody's got masks on, but the cheerleaders have masks. Really? The cheerleaders are sitting on the floor with masks on. I mean, how retarded is this? But the CDC did their job. They were to instill fear into the hearts of the disbelievers, of the believers. They were there to instill fear. And that's what this whole campaign of the Wuhan virus was built on, was fear. And those doctors who had the audacity to use therapeutics to treat the virus and did so with great success were absolutely poo-pooed in the media. They were dismantled by their peers because it didn't fit the narrative. And you know, Dr. Corey decided to treat with ivermectin, and out of 800 patients, 99.9% were cured treating the Wuhan virus. One person had to be hospitalized. One. And there was never any talk about therapeutics. It was always about, we need more ventilators. We need don't talk about treating the virus. Okay. Nope, you gotta stay home. Well, herd immunity? No, we can't do that. We must shut down an economy. We must scare the crap out of kids. Because if you scare the child, okay, then the parents have no choice but to console little Johnny and little Mary. And to follow the herd, fall in line with the media propaganda, fall in line with the government propaganda, with the WHO propaganda, with the CDC propaganda. And then look what happens in Florida, okay? The governor there, DeSantis, removes all restrictions. And you've got all of these left-wing lunatics who are destroying their own cities and states. Where do they flock to for vacation? Huh?
who's the governor of California, goes to Florida for vacation. You got AOC, Alexandra Cortez, comes to Florida for vacation instead of New York, going back to her district. God forbid she goes to her district. Nancy Pelosi comes to Florida. And Governor DeSantis is a bad guy? Come on. And he opens up his state. Look what happens to this whole Wuhan virus narrative, huh? It's like an afterthought now. Well, we're focused on Russia-Ukraine. Oh, we got this little Hunter Biden laptop was true. But in the meantime, it's Russia. It's Russia. It continues to be Russia.
Lies. All lies we've been told.
God almighty. I'll tell you, I just it amazes me. You know, I can't believe what I'm seeing out of the people just like in the grocery store. I can't believe I walk into a grocery store at 11:30, you know, in the morning, and the places that there's so many people walking through the grocery and it's like half the people have masks on. I was like, whoa, I couldn't believe it, Al. Honest to God, I could not believe it.
Yeah, I was telling you last week, I went to get blood a few weeks ago, and they said I had to wear a mask. I walked out and said, I'm not wearing a mask. I said, well, I walked out. But there's another disturbing news story that people need to do a little research on, is that China now has fully militarized three China Sea islands as things are beginning to heat up. Ambassador Qin Gang, his propaganda from China, he's the Chinese ambassador, he said, quote, China stands for peace, opposes war. China continues normal trade with Russia. Quote, China is part of the solution, not the problem in regard to the Ukraine.
Right.
So this is how China is playing this, Russia, U.S., China, Ukraine. That is how a Marxist communist country stays out of it while maintaining relations with Russia and giving the screws to our fearless leader, President Biden. And he's just taking it like a little bitch, our president, and it's very troubling.
Well, they know Biden's weak and he can be bought, and they've already bought the Biden crime family. So what do they have to fear? You know, the communist propaganda is simple. It is to spread their wings. They bought seaports up on the east west coast of Africa. You know, they have ports in Australia, New Zealand. They're doing the same throughout the Europe. As a matter of fact, they're building roadways and highways in Montenegro, and Montenegro is about to default on their note to China, and China said, okay, just give us land, and that's exactly what they're going to do around the world. You know, the communists they don't want war. The communists want to spread communism. That's their whole goal. I mean, and now they know there is a weak president in the United States. Their mission was, they did what they were supposed to do. They got rid of Trump. Trump was opening too many eyes. Whether you like the guy or not, the issue was really simple. The trade deal and running the trade deficit and cutting the trade deficit was goal number one. The President Trump did that, and much to the dismay of the communists, and the communists corrected the situation. And now you had the Europe fall in line after they were following Trump with erasing their trade deficit. A $550 billion a year trade deficit in the United States with China. And we're not even talking about that anymore. Because China did what they were supposed to do. Or didn't they?
Well, yeah, they're taking these lands without firing a bullet. It's actually
right. It's
economic warfare. It's part of their unrestricted warfare program, and it's brilliant.
It certainly is.
We're in Afghanistan for 20 damn years, and we don't even make a play for their resources or their rare earth minerals. The minute we leave, China moves right in and starts stripping them of their resources and giving the Taliban payouts because they don't give a shit what the Taliban do, who they kill, or what they do, how they live.
Nope.
Who are the chumps here? Us.
And they got what they want. They got what they wanted.
Yeah.
And they got a weak and feckless man in the White House, and it's exactly what they wanted. And now we're going to learn how quickly how weak Biden is. They're sending this dummy over to Poland, and just it's going to be an embarrassment, man.
Yeah. Oh, one quick story before we run. Austria, in Spain, they captured a migrant who came from Afghanistan who had on his person, he had a kill list of Austrian special forces operators who were training the Afghan troops in Afghanistan. Mm. So these Afghani migrants were going to Australia to track down, hunt, and kill these Austrians who were training the Afghan military.
That's
put that
story
into your hookah and smoke it, and that is a big story that you will probably never hear anywhere else. Because it could be happening right here. Because we sure as hell didn't vet all the Afghanis that came here. We know that to be true.
Well, I'm going to tell you, that's a story we're going to cover next week, certainly. You can find the story at Jihad Watch. Migrant jihadis in Europe are hunting members of the Austrian armed forces who trained them in Afghanistan. There's nothing peaceful, okay, about Islam does not mean peace. And the fact is that that's why there should be better vetting, of Muslim migrants in any country. It's not about assimilation and integration. It's about domination.
Amen.
Hey, tomorrow night we've got Eric from Kafiristan with the Cross and the Crescent. Wednesday we've got Hank Jones at Poly Sports. You heard Hank a few minutes ago. He's going to have interview with Leah Thomas. 5:30 Eastern Time. Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Friday, Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. And Saturday, we have Minister Simon Dakuk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Let me tell you, Minister Dakuk does great work. And you know he's doing great work when, in fact, he's stalked and harassed by the con men of CARE. And I'm amazed that this man, he's certainly doing the Lord's work, and he's certainly doing he has a passion. And if you can support Minister Simon Dakuk and the Straight Way of Grace Ministry, that's a plug on my own. I'm amazed as this man continues to push forward, how he's harassed and maligned by the con men of CARE. So check out Minister Simon Dakuk, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday evenings. Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan is back with the interfaith dialogue, the real interfaith dialogue. Monday, Alan, I'll be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio include Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and a sidekick, Curtis. 1 to 4 p.m. Friday, Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, Southern Sense Talk Radio. And then you got G-Ski and Dave, Friday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Airwaves America, and keep G-Ski in your prayers. Chief, Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday evenings. Check out Audrey at audreyrusso.com. And if you want a break from politics and Islam, check out the Simone Nicole Show, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time at Spreaker.com. I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. A great blog spot. International news, national news, just a flavor for everything. Ducky Northwest, thank you, Ducky. Southern Sense Talk Radio, Andy just came in the chat room. Nice to see you, Andy. Check out our show Fridays, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Alaskan Boyd, nice to see you. And, of course, we had Moving Forward, who just left. Thank you, Moving. Thank you for your service. And we got Sue from New Mexico. God bless you, Sue. Prayers to you. And, folks, we're out of here. Thank you very much for joining us. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. We'll see you next week.
All right, folks. Be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. Ciao.
Yes, it was mine.
try to get it. Almost. That was quick.
A lot of news. There's a lot of it we didn't even really get into, too. I tell you.
No, that story.
Shit happening.
That Austrian, the jihadis that are hunting members of the Austrian armed forces, that's a huge story. And I'm sorry we didn't get to that, because that just speaks to what the jihadis are capable of, which includes the hit squads that are in America. You just don't know it. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that over the years, but now they've got proof about about jihadis hunting Austrian armed forces who were training Afghanis.
Scary. I read that story by Robert Spencer. I tell you, that gave me chills, because I could see that happening here, because we're not used to having kill teams here in the United States, at least active. And they can get it. And if you're a follower of Islam, you can get away with anything. They're a protected class.
Oh, heck yes. Absolutely. And that should scare the bejesus out of you.
It does me.
I mean, we know, we understand and we follow this. What would it be to put a hit out on Robert Spencer, okay, who runs Jihad Watch, huh? You know, when you have a vetting process that is so poor under this administration as the Biden-Harris-Obama administration has done, and removing, the vetting process. I believe it was Omar Ahmad of the Convent of Care. Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. And so you have an issue here, Al, where it's not about assimilation and it's not about integration. It's about domination. And one of the ways you dominate, you take your energy.
Yeah. Hell, Robert Spencer, if you remember when he was went overseas, one of his drinks was spiked, and he had big health problems. Went to the hospital. They didn't do jack for him because they knew who he was. He had to come back to the States somehow, and he managed to power through it, but took him out for about 3 months. So anything's possible.
What about the hit squad that went out to Garland, Texas, to take out Wilders and Pamela Geller?
Yeah.
And I believe that you have firsthand knowledge of that one. You were there.
Yeah, and that was an FBI agent was working the two and let them work all the way to shooting and nearly killing a cop. That was a messed up event.
Well, it was. It was. But, there again, it's happened already in the United States. It's happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. I didn't think of it like that, but you nailed it.
And then
Spanish, if you read through the article, the Spanish government let these assholes go.
Oh, my God. See?
Can you believe it?
Yes, I can, because this is exactly why the groundwork is laid. This is why you have the mission of the Islamic effort in the world to start labeling and referring to everyone who doesn't follow their rules as Islamophobes. And that's the political correct part of it. Because what it does is, you can't discern between a Muslim who has integrated, you can, okay, or has assimilated. And now, when you have, let's say, an Omar Mateen who goes out and kills 49 people at the Pulse nightclub, okay, that's an Islamic terrorist. You're not indicting all Muslims. But the fact is that you have to root out these jihadis, and you have to root out these fundamentalists. And suddenly, when you call out these fundamentalists, you're an Islamophobe of all Muslims. No, you're not. But hey, it's working, isn't it? The complicit Spanish government lets this person, these people go when they had them right there. You deport them and their entire families. If they have a chain of families, you deport them all. Get rid of it. They have no allegiance to your country. There's nothing difficult about that.
Oof, crazy times.
Oh, man, I forgot there was Boyd was in the chat room. Oh, man, Alaskan. Sorry about that. I don't think I mentioned you.
Yeah. And I wasn't paying attention. My fault.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, you have a good evening. That was
you
a
too.
Quick,
have a great
two
week.
2 hours. Yeah. Yeah.
Hit them straight,
happens.
Not too often.
Yeah. Agree. You either, huh?
All right.
Well, you take care, man. Be safe out there. Speaking of these hit squads,
you
be
too.
Safe out there. All righty. Good job.
All right, bye.
Bye, Sue.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Music Block Talk Radio. Goodbye.